I'm thankful to be here with you this morning. And, you know, like our brother Chris and I were talking this morning, you know, you go through different areas in order to get here and around this this piece of the state, you know, it's where maybe within a few miles, you know, it could be good roads and things like that. And then right down the road, you can have these snow squalls you can't see or be icy. And just, I guess it's either that time of year maybe, or whatever the matter, you know. But isn't that really common like life? It really is an example of how life works. You know, life could be smooth sailing and the road's clear. And things just, it may be going easy. Or little worry. Or maybe not as much effort needed. And then there's times when things come up unaware. You can hit the slip spots in life, if you will. You know, there, when we were going to work here the other day, you know, and you see people slid off the ditch. They may have come up on something pretty fast, or unaware, or weren't prepared, or maybe going too fast, or just lost control. And they met peril. Once again, that's kind of like life, isn't it? Sometimes things can come up real fast. And we can lose control. Things beyond our control. Maybe we didn't prepare in the vehicle of life, if you will. Or to be able to, you know, handle in a more wise way, you know, some of the situations that can come. We talk about, in the book of Ephesians, talk about preparing with gospel armor. There are places talking about, you know, the going on to virtue. In order to be able to be more stronger and resilient in life. The scriptures and our fellowship in the body of Christ, our prayer, our study, our devotion to the Lord, now help prepare us for those difficult times. And you know, we need preparation to handle the good times, to take advantage and excel in those times, and to praise and thanksgiving and glory, and also that even through the good times, we don't get carried away into pride. I know that I read experiences like in our early church, where there were times when they because they thought the people were maybe getting a little too much involved in pride, they would even pray for adversity, realizing that the chastening of the Lord bringing the peaceful fruits, or that they were being the Lord's eye was upon them. And that the power of the adversary was trying to sway them from the course that they were taking. And then, of course, the Lord's blessings upon them. But, like I said, you know, even though that we may not enjoy sometimes this piece of the year, you know, with the cold, maybe you do. Now, personally, I think as I'm getting a little bit older, I don't, you know, so much care for the cold, but we'll deal with it. I guess it's the difference between here, or if you were to go to the south and you're dealing with the extreme heat in the summertime, could you deal with 110 degrees? You know. But this is the Lord's, this is His, another part of His vineyard, and there are many precious souls to Him here as well. But I had a subject in mind that I'd like to bring to us this morning, And it touches upon all parts of our life. Once again, the gospel touches upon all parts of our life. You know, we take and not that I'm going to go to the Psalms, but in the book of Psalms, we find many praises. We find challenge. We find, "Search me, O Lord." We find so much through there that is reverencing to the Lord, exalting to His name, and so many things that are to challenge and charge the children of men in order to find this God, realize of His majesty, realize of His power to inspire, to lead, and to teach. We find through the Psalms about reverencing the Lord. And so many areas of our life in which, you know, once we come in contact and learn of God and His majesty and His the admonition of the Lord, that it is an inspiration in our life that would cause us to want to reverence Him in all parts of our lives. And so I'd like to take take a look at some scriptures in different aspects and different parts of our lives. And I'd like you to read along with me. I'd like to take a turn for a first scripture, if you will, over the book of 1 John, a third chapter. 1 John, a third chapter. And what I hope and I pray that we come to maybe more realize of so many of the ways in our life that we can handle it in a manner or choice and decision that reverence the Lord in our ways. I'd like to read verses 18 through 24. "My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and truth." Okay? Let's not just love by the word or by the tongue. Okay? Just giving Him, well, just by knowing about it, or not just by speaking it, or, you know, but that the gospel of Jesus Christ should influence all parts of our life. You know, we may be here together, and I know I've made this analogy before, that we're kind of here in a portrait. We're kind of here in a portrait. And everyone tries their best to shine for the portrait, if you will. You know, it does say to be good to those, especially those of the household of faith. You know, your brothers and sisters in Christ, in the body of Christ. And we learn here together. We worship here together. But we're more in more of a spiritual, pristine setting, aren't we? But the trial of our faith and in our lives happens in our daily lives. And God wants us to take your faith for a walk. Take your belief for a walk. To go for exercise with it. And there are our deeds. The book of James talks about faith without works is dead. And so we look at the different ways, the different facets of how it transpires in our life. In deed and in truth. He doesn't want us to be living by falsehood. We need to take a good, honest soul searching in our life. Take to heart and take for serious the things that the Lord has said in His Word. "And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before Him." Living our lives honestly, you know, unto the Lord. And righteously. You know. It's one thing to be honest with the Lord, but it does not mean that we're living our life righteous before the Lord. Maybe honest about our ways, but we need to maybe change some of the things that we're doing that are that are reverencing him by taking for serious the things that he said in his gospel for truth. It says, "For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God." Now we're walking really with a clear conscience, more of a clear conscience, aren't we? Being that we have made right, or straightened our steps, or made a better choice, and changed parts that we need to. "And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments. And we do those things that are pleasing in His sight. And this is the commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, as He gave us commandment." Now here's another, once again, here we would talk about, we always talk about, let's keep His commandments. And you hear everyone say this all the time, that if we love Him, we will keep His commandments. Well, here we find one of His commandments. Christ talked about in the book of Matthew, what is the greatest of the commandments? It's love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, might, mind, and strength. Love thy neighbor as thyself. And so we find love one another as He gave us commandment. That we should love one another. The spirit of charity in your life. The pure love of Christ. "And he that keepeth His commandments dwelleth in Him. And he in Him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which He hath given us." You see, the application of the reality of the gospel that you utilize in your life reverences the Lord. Take for serious the things that He has said. We find, like it says in 22, whatever we ask, so we receive of Him, we keep His commandments, and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. Now, we find that what can happen is if we're not keeping His commandments in our life and we're walking our own way, doing our own thing, His hand of blessing can withdraw. And we find the chastening of the Lord trying to bring us back in closer to His blessing and into His into that fellowship of the Spirit. We find that we are chastened when we walk away from Him, and we receive the consequences of life's actions until we kind of realize and do a reality check, and we draw closer to His presence, to His hand of blessing. And it says, "No chastening for the present time is joyous, but it yields the peaceable fruits of righteousness." That's what we want to be. We want peaceable fruits of righteousness. We want the fruits of His blessings. It says in another scripture, it says, is Christ the minister to sin? He can't minister to us in sin. He wants to minister us away from sin, or to help us to choose to push off those sins and to forsake them. And to repent from them, and to turn to Him, and to come draw closer to His hand of blessing, and the fellowship of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. "He that keepeth His commandments dwelleth in Him." And once again, we reverence Him, because He is a holy God, and He is to be worshipped. We reverence Him by trying to give Him. When the children of Israel would take and they would make sacrifice before the Lord, and they would bring they were to bring the best. There were the meat offerings, the drink offerings, and so on and so forth. And there was a way it was to be done, and it was to be done. There was a sincerity in it. There was giving Him the best. There was the first fruits. Not the blemished, the sick, the lame, or that was the spoiled of the wine or the grain or whatever the matter, but the first fruits. And as a matter of fact, you know, today, you know, we find in the Jewish belief, they believe that there is to be not only the temple built to make sacrifice, but there is also to be a red heifer to be offered, unblemished. And which I believe is a misinterpretation. We talk about Malachi, the sons of Levi, making an offering in righteousness. And that we know that to be through Jesus Christ and of a broken heart and a contrite spirit. That is the most blessed sacrifice of their first fruits. But the Lord wants that out of all parts of our life. To give Him the first fruits and of our attention and in our ways and of our substance and of our worship and of our time. He is Lord of our life. And there is our Father which art in heaven, which is to be worshipped, who is holy and is to be reverenced in all parts of our life. You've come before the Lord this morning, if you will, and we're partaking of the sacrament. A very holy thing. The witness of the Father and the Son that we remember. And that we're willing to listen to the sacrament prayer. That we're willing to keep His commandments. We have His Spirit to be with us. You've given Him the sacrifice of your lives, of your praise, of your worship. And I hope that you have thought upon and prepared and prayed that your day is consecrated unto Him in this very manner. That you brought your first fruits here this morning, your worship. Your devotion. I'd like to turn, if you will. Let's go over into Hebrews 13. Book of Hebrews, 13th chapter. I'd like to read verses 15 and 16. By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. To do good, to communicate not, or to forget not. And he talks about with such sacrifices already. With such sacrifices. We were just talking about temporal sacrifices through the old law. We'll talk about sacrifices in the new law of a broken heart and a contrite spirit. But the sacrifice of praise to God continually, you find more of the motivation and the foundation of why we sing praises, why we sing hymns. We're putting all our heart, our souls behind them in agreement and in devotion. And the speaking of them, the witnessing, do we agree with them? That's why we might find that there are sermons contained in each hymn. We find many precious facts contained within them. But the fruit of our lips, how is your day spent or told, and how is it spoken among those that you deal with from day to day? Is what you come from your mouth, you know, the sacrifice of praise? What about the fruit of your lips? Is it to constructive behavior, edification? And that which keeps ourselves unstained from the world, and it may not be where we're speaking the name of Christ, you know, all the time throughout our daily business. Okay, we're conducting our business, but the way that we speak or we transpire, it is dealing with matters in a Christian mode of life. That we take care of our business well and honestly, and treating others with respect. And there was a young man that I worked with up at Gaylord, and he hadn't worked with us very long, but he had lost his wife, and like I say, he was a young guy, he was maybe 30, something like that. And he got involved in trouble, a very mild-mannered man. And you wouldn't think of him that he could even get in trouble. You know, just an innocent of the lamb is Brother Ty down here, you know. And good man. Anyway. But this fellow had fell into trouble. And he had to go to jail. And they asked if he could get out on work release, could come to work. And but someone needed to pick him up. So I remember for a couple weeks, something like that, and I was just on my way, and I stopped by and would pick him up and take him in. And that seemed to happen. It happened a couple different times with a couple different people up there. Stopped by the jail, and one time after through that situation, one fellow's wife had brought me in a big pie, and I thought that was the nicest thing. I didn't need it. No, but regardless of the matter, it was nice of him. But this one fellow I was telling you about, go pick him up, nice fellow, and we really hadn't talked a whole lot. But I was responsible for setting up certain fellows on certain jobs and make sure they were instructed so that they could put together what they were working on, you know. And you wonder how you're treating people, and how, you know, you always wonder things like that, or at least we should. Until it wasn't too long before we were getting ready to move down here, and he had said, you know, I appreciated the way that you treated me. No one ever treated me with respect, and he didn't, because he didn't think too much of himself, low self-esteem, or whatever. And I said, everyone deserves respect. And you're a human being, and you are God's children, and beyond that, you're a nice person. But it felt good that someone said, you know, you treat me with dignity and some respect. And so, even though, you see what I mean, and through example and how we treat people and our life transpires in our daily lives, the gospel can shine. That's how God wants it to be. That's how it's going, where the rubber meets the road. Even though right now there's a little ice under it. But that's where the rubber meets the road, where it comes, you know, on the kitchen table, if you will, in reality. That's where, you know, and the more that we mature in the gospel, we find it of our love and devotion excelling, and our appreciation for it, where the sacrifices, they become more and more unblemished, if you will. More and more unblemished. As we come to appreciate and to love the Lord more and more. As it says in the scriptures, so as He is, so are we in this world. We're trying to attain to the example of the Son of God in how He lived and how He taught us. Over in 1 Peter, look, 1 Peter 3 and 15. First Peter 3 and 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Now there's a whole lot to be said there in that piece of the verse about sanctifying the Lord God in your heart by prayer, by thanksgiving, by reverencing Him in keeping His commandments. repenting, giving up sin, taking on, the blood of Christ. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. And be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. I say a godly fear, not the world's fear, because it talks about working out your soul salvation with fear and trembling. We can't get those two mixed up. There is the admonition of the Lord, the godly fear, reverencing Him in our lives, realizing of His majesty. But there is a fear and a torment that a worldly fear can bring. We're unstable in our knowledge of our eternal future. And where we rely within those things. You know, we can be uneasy about that. What if we would have to stand before Him today? We need to ask that serious question in our lives. What if we needed to stand before Him? Have we become complacent in life and we have become comfortable in life and not worried about it? And that can happen. Or can we intend to do well, but put it off? And that can happen too. But to sanctify the Lord and be ready to always to give an answer. And you know, and it leads me to about witnessing. Jesus said, "He who confessed me before men, I'll confess before my Father which is in heaven." And you know, there's something that's been on my mind lately, a lot about our local and about our church here, and about our neighborhood involvement. And when things become clearer and maybe drying up out here, and I know maybe that's an excuse, maybe not, but where I'd like to go out and let's meet the neighborhood. Those that are there willing to welcome those into the house of the Lord and to hear the gospel or to meet the neighborhood, I'd like to do that. And I'd really like to talk with those that would like to volunteer to do something like that. I'm talking about a reality. You know, we come in maybe on a Saturday or whatever the matter and maybe spend the day around here and walk around. There's probably more people around here than we may think. And a church should be part of the community. And we should do more of that. And I'm more than willing to do that. Whoever would like to go around with me. You know? And I'd really like to do that. And witness for Christ. There could be those in spiritual need closer than we may think. We know just from those that have moved in and out of the building, the house next door. We've had times where we've been able to witness, to talk to them. But I'd like to go through our neighborhood here, that we may be more of a part. I'd like to turn over to Hebrews 12. I believe, like it says in the book of Matthew, too much is given, much shall be required. I believe that with all my heart about the restored fullness of the gospel. And I believe with all that before us, I believe much is going to be required. The Lord wants us to share that great treasure. The word of eternal salvation through Jesus Christ. You know, and with all the record that we have available, all the word that we have available, that deep appreciation and our knowledge should be solidified, not to be debated, but we should know, and we should have answer. And we know that there may be some pieces of the future that yes, we may wonder about. We may take a look through the book of Revelation. Now, I'm trying to do a little more study on it personally right now myself. I have some materials that I'm gathering. And more about the book of Revelation. You know, there are things that we could look to know, to understand more already. But we find with the fullness of the gospel and the restoration, we should know. And we should be able to witness also to others of it, and be willing to as well. I'd like to read from 12 and 28. Chapter 12, verse 28. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Now that's like I said, that there is that word. It's a godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire, and the extent are the of His unending majesty and glory and holiness, where we will not be able to appreciate fully, or and even then more so than when we are there in His kingdom with Him. And we find, you know, of the actions of what will be there, the of praising of the angel with the angels and the heavenly choruses. Holy, holy art Thou, Lord. I don't think we'll fully appreciate, or to know, or to taste, to know of its true flavor until we are there. Our God is a consuming fire, and His holiness, in His truth, in His righteousness, in His holiness. You know, we look, one part of the book of Revelation talks about there were 24 elders, they were about the throne, and they were given crowns, and then they said they threw the crowns before Him, and they fell on their faces and they worshipped. And I believe that and many others that I know, I think, agree with that there's 12 that were first called in around Jerusalem from our Lord, 12 apostles there, and the 12 of the disciples that were called upon this land, the 24 elders. And there were those that were to judge from Jerusalem, and there were those that were to judge upon this from those on this continent, of this people upon this continent. This talks about in 3 Nephi. But there are so many wondrous things that we have to look into. And I think that we should have an appreciation for His Word. We should have a hunger for His Word, okay? To look into, to know how it is, what is the personality of our Lord? What is it that He expects of us? What is it that He has there for you in order to live by? Or in order to yield peaceable fruits by? How to make decisions from? We should have a hunger for the Word of the Lord, and I believe that is something that is a gauge also about the Holy Spirit. If you feel and are moved by the Holy Spirit, that you should have a hunger and a thirst for the Word of God. Jesus compared Himself. He says, "I am the bread of life," and to come to the waters of life freely. And come partake of the waters of life freely. And He wants us to feed upon His Word. We should have an appreciation for it. We should have a hunger and a thirst for it. To know more of it. To look into it. And I believe we should look into it. I think we should, and we should be teaching our children, you know, from the Scriptures. And a lot of you like to read and things like that. And I know that a lot of people that in the world and even in Christian circles, they like to read novels, things like that. Take a look and think about where many of that will go out and purchase a worldly novel, or there's a Christian fiction that's out there. You've got to be careful of. You know, I don't know if the Lord wants us to go dabble in fairy tales. You know, there's there's children's Bibles for our children. You know, that exemplify or to explain in a simplistic manner. You know, some of the stories within the scriptures. You know, I know the mom had one for us. It was a little children's Bible to tell stories from, things like that. But there's, like I said, Christian fiction that we should be careful about. That that even introduces mistruths. There's so many wonderful stories throughout the Bible that are true, that we don't need to worry about, don't need to guess about, and things like that, that are interesting for our children. And so much for us to take a look back into as well. And the Lord enlightens and blesses our understanding when we do check into them, and to look at them, and to appreciate them, and to be edified over. You know, we got to be taking a look at what about the gift of our time, or the sacrifice of our time before the Lord, and how we may use it that may be reverencing to Him, and the things that we transpire that are steeped in the gospel, that are edifying to the body of Christ, that are helping, you know, meeting with your brothers and sisters. You know, sometimes we can become so absorbed in life. We can become taking our time can be absorbed in so many facets. Especially today, there's so much entertainment that people are uneasy and discontent. You know, I think of Paul. He said, "I've tried to learn whatever state I am there to be content." Do you ever think about that word content? Or are we searching for more, looking for more, or need to be constantly challenged in entertainment? We got to watch that we give the Lord what is His, and it's the first fruits of our time as well. You know, And not browbeating one or anyone, but just inviting that Wednesday night. Come to Wednesday night. You know, we've learned some wonderful and powerful things, you know, if you're able to come. And to study for the Lord. Worship with the Lord. You're also, you're devoting of your time. And you know, the Lord knows and sees. And He blesses us for the time that we spend together and we worship together. Yes, sometimes it's out fixing the furnace out back, you know. And it's probably a good thing, you know, just for not only for come together for worship and praying and things, and study. We also found that we needed to make a little fix, you know. We weren't heating downtown Bradley. Well, so there was another little sideline reason. Okay, the Lord steered us here, you know. But regardless, I'd like to take a turn, if you will, over Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. Proverbs 3, and I have a verse there I'd like to, actually a couple of verses, 5 and 6. And you know, let's see here now, whoops, here we go, over to Proverbs. And the question is begged here about many of the decisions that we make, that we might make on our own, that have to do with very, very important parts of our lives. And we try to handle them ourselves, or handle them within our own wisdom and our own intellect, and they could have devastating consequences to us. Do we reverence the Lord with coming to Him and asking Him simply to help us. Help us to decide. Lord, what way that would be in accordance with Your will for me? What would bring glory to You? What would help me out in coming closer to You? Or is it taking me farther away from You? Many such things. But He says in verse 5 and 6, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. What is the value of having Him direct your path? What is the value? It's immeasurable, isn't it? It's immeasurable. If we were to travel off into a dark, forbidden path that is taking us away from Him, and there are decisions we know that can do that, or help remove ourselves spiritually from Him, or take gross amounts of our time that takes us away from Him and serving Him in different areas of our lives. And I, you know, we may be a smaller congregation, but I'll just tell you what, you know, each one of you are still intricately important in the body of Christ, and wondering what it is that you can do to serve the Lord. Ask Him. Counsel with Him. You know, and I fully believe with all my heart that you can be made to be a well of usefulness in His name, making yourself available. That we're not compelled to do the things He would have us to do, such as Jonah. You know, that was told flat out what he should have done. And he had to smell like fish for a while until he come to understand. But come to Him and have, what is the value of having Him direct your life? That is something that for you to think about, to appreciate, to talk to Him over. To have Him direct our lives. I would like to take and to turn back over to 1 Peter 4. Peter 4 and 14. You know, there are definitely times when we feel the footprints of someone else on our back, isn't it? That can happen each day, can't it? You know? But it says, if you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. Now, at the time, you may not be thinking of happiness. And Jesus taught us about not giving railing for railing. And sometimes that's hard to do. That's what we're called to do, to be wise in the way that we handle ourselves, an example in public. But if you're reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. Remember, he says, blessed are the peacemakers. There are times we have to settle matters. Sometimes we have to take in and to be peaceful about our nature. There are times to be able to step between those that are in fights, if you will. I've physically done that. You know, may not have been the smartest thing at the time, but I knew what I had to do. But it says that the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part He is evil spoken of, but on your part He is glorified. That if we have to suffer once in a while for the right thing, you know. And remember this, and there like this one fellow had said one time, he says, you know, right is right. Even if you're the only one. Wrong is wrong, even if everyone's doing it and you're doing the right thing. You know? And that's truth. Sometimes we have to stand for that which is right. We should always stand for that which is right, I should say. Be a better comment. I would like to turn over to the second chapter of 1 Peter. And I like to read verse 12. having your conversation honest among the Gentiles. That's whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Okay? They may speak against you as an evildoer, but your conversation is honest. And whether they appreciate it or not, or acknowledge it or not, God does know. And you know, whether they appreciate it or not, or whether they will acknowledge it or not, they may remember when they do need you, or when they want somebody to trust. Or there's many such reasons. They know that they can depend. They will get a square answer, an honest one, maybe a good piece of good spiritual advice from you. You know, the gospel and His word is not where we may be up there. You're not thumping the scriptures over them, but it's how it is lived and how that sort of discernment and wisdom is spoken in your ways and in some of your maybe some wise comments that the Lord has inspired. Okay, we don't have to be quoting scriptures to them. Not that you won't go to the Word if needs be, if there is that type of question. Okay, but that as the gospel through your comments, through those pieces of wisdom, if you will, are spoken from good spiritual knowledge and love for the Lord that you're trying to share. I'd like taking to let's take a look at let's see here now. One last piece of scripture I'd like to take a look at, and let's look in Ephesians 5. And like I was saying before, there's not a part of our life that we should not be reverencing our Lord. And we take a look in Ephesians 5, where we find that the relationships between husbands and wives, or we find between boyfriend and girlfriend, or whatever the matter, that they are thinking of each other before themselves, or they should be. And it says, therefore, if the church is subject to Christ, let the wives be to their own husbands. Husbands, love your wives, as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleansing it with the washing of the water by the word. Verse 26. That He might present itself to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but should be holy without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. And he that loveth his wife loveth himself. No man ever hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth, even as the Lord the church. So that, you know, we should not be having a selfish nature in our relationships. Just thinking of the other for ourselves, preferring one another. And we should be giving good and praiseworthy comments to one another. You know, things like that. When they do well, or when they took care of the home in a certain manner, or they had a hard day at work, or things like that, and lifting one another up, and remember they are also a brother or sister in Christ. And you know, as many times when. Well, I shouldn't say many times. You know, there are times when I have cooked, or there's time when Sue has cooked, and you know, I know when that I didn't do a good job, and then at times I know that Sue that she didn't maybe do a good job, but you know, we still ate, and said, well, you know, you did good there, and there's times when I had to. Look for some very constructive words in order to give praise, and vice versa, you know, with the meal that was put on that night. And I know one time in particular when Sue was expecting one of the children, and we were she had fixed a certain type of food for supper. I got home there, and she was off being sick in the other room, you know, and I couldn't make it through that one for that reason. Because, well, anyway, I don't even go into that. But still thanked her that she had put that on there. And you know, I never tried to be... If I were a little fussier, then I probably wouldn't be. I would need to take off weight, you know, probably put on weight if I were maybe a little more fussy or maybe a little less. But try to appreciate that what she had done, and trying to be that fussy, if you will, and in my experience, if you will. But the Lord tells us about we can be reverencing our Lord in our relationships, and it was that important to the Lord to exemplify the relationship between a man and a wife that He compared it to His church. That we're helping to prepare one another, you know, and such. Like I said, so there's all areas of our relationship that we should prefer one another, you know. Like I bring my paycheck home, and it was for the household. It wasn't for me, but it was for the household. And the same way, you know, Sue works, and she it is for the house. It is for the furthering of the family, for the relationship, not for me to take to do what I feel like and dole out a little bit here and there, and just for that, and the rest is for me and self-serving and do as I feel like and go get things for myself, whatever. But I need to put my family first. And also taking care of maybe there's a little bit for a rainy day and for the future things for the family. That's what it's all about. And taking care of my family, even though if Sue didn't work, it is for the family. You know, because it is the Lord that shed the blessing in the first place, isn't it? It's the Lord that gave it to us in the first place. And I believe all my heart that also reverencing the Lord about His Word and our salvation, taking His Word seriously about the foundation of looking in your soul salvation seriously, and in love, being inspired as receiving of that Spirit as God imparts of His Spirit, okay. That it is touching you, that you embrace that, and we reverence the Lord, and we take that precious sacrifice that the Lord Jesus willingly gave, taking that seriously, and this reverences the Lord by believing in the Son. So I thank you for your time, for your love, your prayers.